Your conference is being recorded.
Great. I'm not sure if I heard a beep because of the conference call recording or because somebody else joined the call. Did someone just join the call? This is Caroline. Okay, so on the call then, and this is the order that we'll go in, I've got Christine, Stephanie, Nathan, and Carly. So we'll go around our circle in that order. So I'd like to welcome all of you to, this is our last conference call for 2021. I can't believe how fast this year has gone. And I'm actually hosting it from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish people. I'm down in Vancouver at the moment. Normally, I'm based on the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation and Tonkwatchin Council. So, as I mentioned, this is our last call for CB 101, CB meaning community building. And last week, you would have explored what community means to you, to other people, and the many different ways that we can describe or identify community. Some people have described what community means to them in their learning activity last week. A few people used different analogies and likened their communities to something in nature or personality. So thank you very much for sharing those. This week we're going to get a little bit more into what community building is. And there's actually a whole area of study called community development, which is like community building. So some of you may have heard of that as even a degree or something like that. So there is a whole area of study called community development. But we'll get jumped into what community building is, as well as when and how we might want to use a community development approach in recreation. So we'll start with a quick round of introductions. Then we'll look at some of the topics, and then I've got a few questions just to ask you for to sort of dig a bit deeper into what community building means to all of us. So let's do a round of introductions. Stephanie, I know you already introduced yourself a little bit. Maybe you can just say it again because I think Carly joined the call after. So when we come to you, if everybody could just introduce themselves, your name, your community, and your role in recreation, and then if you have a word, and this might be harder for some of you who are just new to our Recreation North learning community, but if you have one word that sort of describes how you feel about the Rec North learning community. So I'll go first just to give you an example, and then we'll go Christine, Stephanie, Nathan, and Carly. So again, I'm Caroline. I'm the learning consultant for the Recreation North training program based out of Whitehorse. And the Recreation North community is a remote connection. So I feel very connected with people, but just not in person because I never get to meet anybody in person. So that's my thought. So over to you, Christine, to introduce yourself and use a word or a phrase to describe your thoughts about this Rec North learning community.
Hi, I'm Christine. I am on the Recreation Board in CARMAX, which is on official territory of the Northern Shoshone CARMAX First Nation, but I am currently residing in Whitehorse, which is Kwamundun and Tonkwatchin Council, traditional territory. I am president of Yukon Disc Diversity Guild, which I started this summer. We promote disc golf, diversity in disc golf. And one word I would use to describe this, I would say it's cozy. I find it's like there's something to be said about northern people getting together and having discussions. I feel like we're just kind of a cozy community.
Oh, I like that. That makes me feel like grabbing a cup of hot chocolate or tea or something. Thank you. That's wonderful. And I love that your experience with the disc golf too, because that's something that I feel is a really neat activity that just about anybody in any community can do. So I'm looking forward to learning more about it from you as we move through the different learning events. So thank you. Stephanie, over to you. If you'd like to introduce yourself again and just sort of use one word or phrase to describe your thoughts about the Recreation North learning community.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Kachia. I live in Enterprise, Northwest Territories, and And what can I say about this Recreation North program? Is I am very comfortable with it. I had taken 8 courses already, so I am comfortable with the presentations, the online courses, and in the community, I am with the fire department, and I do volunteer with the senior society, and I do what I can with the kids when I can, and we have, amazingly, with a population of 100 people, about 21 kids under the age of 16, and about half the population are seniors. So I'm quite comfortable with the seniors, with the families, and with the kids. And like I said, this course, I would say I'm very comfortable with it.
Awesome. Thanks, Stephanie. And I'm so glad to have you back and working towards your certificate. You're getting closer, so that's awesome. Thank you. Over to you, Nathan, if you'd like to introduce yourself and use a word or a phrase to describe your thoughts about the Recreation North Learning Community.
Hi, my name is Nathan Wilson. I'm the rec leader in Fort Liard. Me and Stephanie know each other, so hi, Stephanie. And I think the Rec North leadership program is good because it kind of helps everybody network, get to know, you know, like anybody that they might be working with in the future. There's a lot of knowledge that kind of gets passed around, especially with like the discussion, like threads that we have for the RLAs, and I think those have been pretty useful for me now so far.
Awesome, thanks. Well, I'm glad you know Stephanie. I wasn't sure if you went through fire department or something else, so that's wonderful. It's nice to kind of reconnect with people. Thanks, Nathan. And over to you, Carly, if you'd like to introduce yourself and then use a word or phrase to describe your thoughts about the Recreation North Learning Community.
Hi, I'm Carly. I'm based out of Whitehorse. I'm right now the special events coordinator at the Canada Game Center. I think a word that best describes this community would be rare. I think like all three of our territories are so spread out. I think it's actually quite rare to ever talk to someone from, you know, one of the other territories. So I think that's really cool and rare.
Oh, that's neat. I like how you explain that. I always thought it was special to be able to learn from different territories, but rare is, you're right, it doesn't happen very often, and I think there's a lot we can learn from each other. So thank you very much, Carly. Thanks, everybody. Let's, if you happen to have the slides open, I'm going to start with slide 17 and just dig a little bit more into what community building or community development is. So as I mentioned earlier, community building is a field of practice. It's sometimes referred to as community development. And the goal in community building is to get local people, so residents or citizens in your community, to act upon things that impact their well-being and their quality of life. So it's really digging into sort of the deeper meaning and what really makes community life work well for people. Building community means that we have to involve the right people. So if we always focus on just children, for example, we're missing, like Stephanie said, 50% of our population is elders and seniors. So we have to focus when we build community on involving the right people, or the people that are living the experiences. And we have to help them community building is about helping people develop their strengths and the things that they do well, their assets, what they already have, their knowledge and their skills, and helping them use those so that they can make a difference in their communities. So it's not about us doing things for people, it's about us helping people do things for themselves. So when you have a personal philosophy about community building, it really can help you sort of open your eyes as to different ways that you can work with your community, and it might help you see your community in a new light. And so that was the purpose of this Sunday coming up, the RLA or Required Learning Activity is about building your own or creating your own philosophy about community building. Some of you are probably very well aware, though, that when we talk about community building, there's barriers. to that. And there's also opportunities that we find. You might have mentioned these if you did last week's RLA, and also the TEDx talk that was linked on slide 18 and that I suggested that you watch before today introduces others. So if you haven't had a chance to watch that TEDx talk, I'd really encourage you to do so. It's from Australia, and I found it quite powerful and very insightful. But let's take a moment to come back to our three territories and look at what you think are barriers to building community. So in your experience, if you want to encourage and enable and get people in the community involved doing things for themselves that make the community a better place, what makes that hard to do sometimes? So I'll pop that in the chat. And what we'll do is I'll start this round with Christine once more, and then the next round we'll start with Stephanie. So, Christine, apologies to put you on the spot twice in a row, but in your experience, what is a barrier or something that makes community building difficult?
I guess, like, lack of resources is one thing. Just like lack of capacity and resources can be difficult because if you don't have anything to really build the community on, like I know, for example, in CarMax, like unless you have food, like a full out dinner to an event, you're probably not going to get very many people out. So if you don't have the funding or the access to the food to provide for the event, or because of COVID and you can't do the food, it just makes it difficult, for one example.
And that's an awesome example. I think everybody on the call and in just about every community across the North can relate to how food can bring people together. Or, like you said, if you can't provide that or don't have the space to sit down and eat together, sometimes that it's sort of like a welcoming opening thing to get people to feel more comfortable with one another. And so, yeah, that's great. Thank you. Stephanie, how about yourself? In your experience, what might be a barrier to building or working with your community?
Hi. I would say communication, because a lot of the seniors are not on Facebook, and I actually take it upon myself to personally call people at home. Yes, I'm that annoying caller. Hey, guess what's happening? Should come check it out kind of thing. And another barrier for me is I'm actually the only one working in recreation, and I don't have a wellness coordinator. I don't have an assistant. I don't have a janitor. So I'm running a lot of the programming by myself, and I am lucky enough to find a couple of volunteers that do continuously help me. There is a couple with the fire department and someone on council and from the office that I always reach out to that do enjoy community events. So I would say working by myself is difficult to reach out, especially when I want to bounce ideas off of someone else in recreation or with even a coworker. So that is my biggest barrier at the moment. So hopefully by the new year, I can have someone to work with me.
Yeah, because I think building those relationships takes time, right? And if you're worried about cleaning the bathrooms and opening the facility, it takes away from time to build the relationships that you need to be able to strengthen or work with your community. So that's awesome. Thank you. Nathan, how about yourself? In your experience, what might be a barrier to working with or engaging your community?
I'd say one of the things, it's been sort of like a common issue since I started. It was just communication and like the fact that I can't use social media, and with my position, and that's like one barrier. And I'd say another one, similar to Christine, is you need like a kind of nice incentivization to get good turnouts and stuff. And for the youth, they don't need too much. But then for the adults, they usually got other things they want to do, and they need it to be, say, worth their time or worth coming out.
Yeah, that's a really good comment, a really good lead into explaining what community building or community development is. Because if people don't see their place in building community or aren't motivated to participate and to engage, it's really hard to get them to that point. So it's finding the things that the underlying motivators or the tweaks that really get people, and sometimes, like you said, incentivize food or prizes or good things, but we also get long-term engagement. We have to really speak to what is in people's hearts, right, and what they really want for their community. So excellent. Thank you very much. Carly, how about yourself? In your experience, and again, you might have a different one, which is why it's so important hearing what all of us have to say. What is the barrier to building community, like to engaging your community and getting them involved?
I think in Whitehorse, because we are such a hub, I don't think there are many barriers, but I see, because the age range, we have a big senior population, big youth population, a lot of families in between, and I think a barrier is difficult to bring all those people together and empower youth to want to build their community with, you know, the older population in Whitehorse. So, yeah, just a way to communicate an event for all ages, trying to organize and empower youth and, you know, young people to build their community with the rest of Whitehorse.
Yeah, and that's where that relationship building, like Stephanie mentioned, is so important. So in a bigger community like Whitehorse, often you get divisions based on age. You might get them on culture, ethnicity. People see people in different ways. They might feel like they don't belong to a certain group. And when we want to build community in a way that it enhances opportunities for everybody, then we need to find something that brings everybody together and lets everybody feel part of it. So, you know, I like how you point out that there are different divisions that way, but it's all about bringing those people together sort of under a common umbrella. So thank you. Those are some good experiences that you've had around barriers to community building. So let's look at when we might want to use a community building approach. So if you have the slides in front of you, slide 19 shows two different approaches that we might use in recreation. And we are going to look at one of them in more detail in the next learning event after Christmas. But in this one, we're going to look at the CD or community development or community building approach. So just to give you a little bit of a background on the direct delivery approach that we'll get into a little bit more, one that you're probably most familiar and most comfortable with in recreation. In most communities or in most nonprofit organizations, the recreation leaders are the ones who are responsible for planning and delivering different recreation programs and services and events. And often in these roles, you probably are taking some sort of direction either from your job description or from a strategic plan or from a community plan, or somebody has told you, I want you to focus on programs for children and youth, or I want you to focus on outdoor programs or after-school programs. So you're taking some sort of direction, and because you have that direction, then you take your ideas and you develop them into programs and events. So that's what I mean when I say a direct delivery approach, and again, I think that's a very common way that we approach recreation. So what we have to understand is that in community recreation, we often might encounter some challenges or issues that we don't know how to address. And so when we get those really big issues, I heard one community in NWT, I'm not sure which, can't remember if it was Wati or Bechico or one of those communities where vandalism was really significant. It was a big issue in the community. And so something like that is something that, you know, is hard to solve. So it's a big issue that your community might need to find solutions to. And in that community, they really worked on having a youth center and youth programs and actually went from a lot of vandalism to zero. So they said it was amazing, the shift in using recreation to address that solution. But it wasn't just a recreation person who found that solution. They had to bring in elders, the school, different people in the community to talk about what they could do and what might work. So a community development approach really helps when you don't know what the answers are or when it's a really big issue. Community development or community building also makes the assumption that the people who live in your community are the ones who are experts on your community. So when you as a recreation leader shift from doing direct delivery to helping your community or facilitating, you can, through recreation, encourage and support your community to look at how they can address those big issues or challenges. That's a lot of information in a very small amount of time. The whole field of community development is quite large, but that's basically the concept, is that as recreation leaders, we can choose to act in different ways and fill different roles, and it might help our community do one thing or another. So a community development approach does take a lot longer than a direct delivery approach, but it also can really, as I use the example of NWT, a community in NWT, make a big difference. So let's think about your own communities right now. And what I'd like to ask you is, when do you think a community building approach might be helpful? Or what type of challenge or issues in your community might be addressed through this type of approach? So, Stephanie, I'm going to put you on the spot first, so we don't put Christine on the spot first. When might a community building approach such as I've just described be helpful? Or what type of issues could it address in your community?
I would say, what type of issues in the community? I would say the population. It's not easy to find volunteers or even anyone to commute from Hay River to Enterprise in order to work or volunteer. And even for myself, I am taking early childhood development courses in order to open up the after-school program. However, with that program, I do need an assistant or someone to work with me. You need two people in order to have that after-school program. So that's one of my major issues, is the population and trying to find someone to work. Everyone in Enterprise basically do have a job, or they're retired, or they're still in school, or their parents or pregnant, or so I would say that's one of the main issues in Enterprise, is just to find anyone to work or commute from Hay River. And I do understand with the COVID-19 standards, a lot of people are either not looking for work, staying at home, or just choose not to commute. So that's one of the major issues I find in Enterprise, is that I would like to open up more programming for the kids. However, I really need someone to work with me, and I've been trying to recruit, but that's not working. And personal time, I would like to encourage anyone to educate themselves with any kind of courses or online programming, and it's just really hard to encourage people to go in that direction.
Thanks, Stephanie. I think you've got a really good example there. Like, I think everybody's experienced the challenges with volunteers, and sometimes, you know, volunteers might agree to do one little thing, but it sounds like a bigger issue here that might need more of a community development approach is, if people want programs in their communities that are meaningful and supportive and make a difference in your community, then how do we do this together? Because it's not going to be about, you know, hiring more staff, because there's no money to hire staff and there's no staff to hire. So how do you approach doing that together? And so that a community building approach could be very helpful for that, I think. It might not get solved right away, but even having some meetings with people that are concerned to figure out you know, how you can approach that a little bit differently might be helpful. So thank you. Nathan, how about yourself? When would a community building approach be helpful in your community, or what type of challenges or issues do you think it could address?
I think an issue that community building might address is maybe the interest of adults in sports. In the past in Fort Liard, I heard that a lot of the organizations and stuff, they had their own, like, you know, teams, and Fort Liard would have, like, multiple, you know, baseball teams just within the community. And then as, like, the workforce that mainly played sports has gotten older, like, the current generation that's around that age now is not as interested, but it seems like with COVID and stuff, people are really, like, anticipating starting it, though, so I'm hoping, like, once we return to, like, contact sports and all that sort of stuff, then, you know, it would drive a lot more interest because, you know, people are missing it, sort of.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I really appreciated your last post about that, because I think what you're suggesting is it's not just about sport, it's about the social side of and adults needing a social outlet that's healthy, right? And I think that is a bigger issue. I think maybe on the surface we look at, you know, there's not as many adults participating in curling or hockey, or, well, maybe hockey's different, I don't know, but, you know, volleyball or things like that. But underneath, does that mean not as many adults are getting their social needs or their physical activity needs met, and what might that look like? So you're exactly right. Like, if you dig a little deeper, that's when you find those issues underneath the surface. Those are the ones that you can maybe use more of a community building approach to figure out, because there might be other answers. It might be that it's, you know, the timing isn't working right for people, or they're not, like you said, maybe they don't have the health to participate in the activities they used to, but maybe there's other ways to address that. So thanks, Nathan. I really appreciate that. Carly, how about yourself? A very different perspective from Fort Liard to Whitehorse and the Canada Game Center. What do you, or when would a community building approach be helpful for you, maybe even in your current role? And what types of challenges or issues do you think you could address through this type of approach?
Yeah, I think sometimes when I'm working for the city, I do feel like I am in a bit of a bubble, and there's a lot of direction from within our little CGC community of, like, what the community might need. But I think if we actually reached out to the community and got their perspective, I think it'd be a really different answer than what I think we think the community needs. So I think that would solve a lot of issues just by reaching out and having the community kind of be building what they need as programming and what they need as recreation. And that could potentially address some of the issues that, you know, not enough youth being active in sports or engaged in recreation, or seniors having, you know, feeling like they can't participate very easily, or, yeah, so some of those barriers might be brought down if we just maybe reached out and the community built its own recreation world. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, you grew up in Whitehorse, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you remember what it was like before the Canada Game Center was built, right? So it seemed to me that when a community changes its focus from programming that happens out in the community and in schools and at different settings to programming that happens in one big facility, it changed that dynamic a little bit. And I think perhaps some people have felt left out. It's difficult to get there if you don't have your own car. It might be difficult if you don't have money to participate. So, yeah, you're exactly right. I think there's an element of running a facility to bring people in, but there's also a responsibility of municipal recreation to reach out as well and meet people where they're at and not just expect them to come to you. So does that ring a bell? Like, do you remember what it was like before the Game Center?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I think I was still in my own bubble with the dance world, so I don't really remember, you know, participating in many, many different recreation activities and it being more a bit of a natural process. But I definitely have realized now, just by growing up here and coming back, it just feels like, yes, we're trying to bring down the barriers and have this huge, awesome facility, but it also sometimes feels elite, and it's a bit of like a toss-up in my mind.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a combination or a balance between the two. So like you said, there's that inviting in, but also reaching out. So thanks for bringing that up. It's good, like especially in the larger community, but I think that it can apply in smaller communities too. Thanks. And Christine, how about yourself? When is a community building approach helpful? And what types of challenges or issues could be better addressed through this approach? And, you know, you might have some experience with that, especially from CarMax, perhaps.
Actually, I would say my biggest challenge that I have is I'm coming into the disc golf scene as a newcomer, and there's kind of a developed community here already, but there's some things that are missing because the majority of disc golfers in general worldwide, but also in Whitehorse, are cisgendered white men in their 20s and 30s. So there's a lot of systemic sort of sexism and maybe potentially racism that goes on, where it's like nobody is mean, nobody is bad. But like, for example, there's no outhouses at the disc golf park, which, like, if you're a woman and you're playing, like, I would go out and play all day at the disc golf park if I could, but there's many times I have to go home because I'm not going to go pop a squat in a fire-smarted forest where there's lots of users in the middle of winter, maybe, when there's no one else there. But anyway, things like that where, like, there's little things that could be tweaked. And so I think right now what I'm trying to do is do a community-building approach to figure out from the different minorities, what are the things that they need for disc golf? What are their barriers? And how can we address those barriers? And then also getting all the current people who've been involved, like they have a lot of knowledge, they have a lot of skill, and making sure that they're on board with it and that it's like just kind of adding to the current community rather than like, I don't want there to be a separation. I want everyone to sort of build together. So I think for, like, dealing with that, a community-building approach would be what was pretty necessary.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I don't know, I remember when my kids were little, so this is going back before we had disc golf in the Yukon, that I remember going with a friend to Whistler, and she's like, you got to come and try this disc golf because it's just such a great way to get your kids out when they don't want to go for a walk with you. They don't want to go biking with you. It's such a great family activity. And that's what I found, like, my son took my mom out, and, you know, she couldn't throw very far or anything, but it was so much fun because it gave them a purpose for being, A, outdoors, and B, active and moving their body. And, I think that it's one activity that has the potential to, you know, cross so many different boundaries. So I'm really excited to hear what you're working towards. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. I think it's really neat to sort of think about what those issues and challenges are in your community. And again, as I mentioned, dig a little deeper. So, you know, if people aren't participating in something, like if you hold an event or a program, or you notice a change in participation, try and dig in underneath and find what the underlying things are, because sometimes those underlying things will take you a little bit deeper, and then you'll figure out a broader, bigger issue that you might be able to solve by involving other people. And when you involve a broader range of people, then you're going to come up with better solutions. So that's a little bit about community building. So on slide 20, I'll just give you a little bit more background from the slides here, and then I've got one more question for you. Slide 20 starts to answer the question, how do we do community building? So not just what is it, but how do we do it?
And if you have a look at that, you'll see that in recreation settings, we want to do several things. We want to empower people, make them feel like they can control their lives and that they can build relationships and create a culture where people are active and where there's healthy lifestyles and where they can grow and learn. And so when I think about community building in a recreation context, I think about three words. I think about engage, include, and empower. So those are three words that always come to my mind. So slide 21 looks a little bit more at what do we mean about engaging community. It's about bringing people together and developing the relationships, like you've said, among people and across people in different sectors with different groups. And those relationships will help the community take control and act upon different issues and things like that. There's a little audio clip there, Tamarack Institute, if anyone's interested. They do an amazing job around community building. So it's a little excerpt. I read something from one of theirs. So if you have a chance, do listen to the audio clip. Another word that comes to mind is include or inclusion. And we've been talking about that in other learning events. And, you know, Christine, that's something that I can hear is very, very important to you for the development of your association, your organization, and in the community. So when we talk about inclusion, it's about ensuring that there's a role and a place for everybody. You know, Carly, you mentioned reaching out to the community because there are people that don't feel like they have a place at the game center. So by reaching out and going to where their space is, they can feel like they're included as well. So when we think about building community, we really need to value the knowledge that we get from other people and from our citizens so that we can reduce and remove some of the barriers. One thing that we have to keep in mind, though, is that not everyone will want to participate. So sometimes we invite people and they decline, which is okay, but they need to be given the choice. If you think about people as a resource, they are your community's most valuable resource. And so we need to invest in people and treat them well. So when we're inclusive, it empowers and educates other people, which leads to better solutions in our community and better opportunities. Empower is another word that's really, really important here. And the World Health Organization in 2019 explained empowerment is a process through which people gain control over the factors and decisions that shape their lives. So that control comes by increasing people's strength, so not focusing on what they can't do or what they don't have, but focusing on what they can do and building their capacity so that they can participate, so that they can build relationships and networks and have their voice heard. So empowerment, as slide 23 explains, can increase something called social capital. And this is sort of a term, but it's interesting to know what it means. Social capital is a value that comes from social networks or groups of people which allow people to achieve things they couldn't achieve on their own. So when you get a group of volunteers together, Stephanie, and now you have a program that you couldn't offer before, those people, those volunteers, that's like social capital in your community. You're not getting paid. There's no money exchanging hands, but your community now has something that it didn't have before. So I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind. So I want to stop for a moment and just ask you one more question. And this is a bit of a personal question. So I want to ask you, what does it feel like when you are empowered, either as an individual or as part of your community? So what does empowerment or being empowered feel like to you? And Nathan, I'm going to put you on the spot first this time, if you don't mind. If you need to take a moment to think about it, you can. But if you feel empowered, what does that feel like? What does that mean to you?
For me, feeling empowered is kind of like feeling proud over what recreation has done, I guess. So, like, you know, say after an event and everybody's, like, you know, having a good time or whatever, and, you know, nothing, like, too bad happens, and, like, you know, you kind of have that feeling of empowerment where you're, you're part of like the community and like, you know, yourself and your staff and stuff.
Yeah, so you feel stronger because what you planned and offered has been good for people. Is that kind of
innovative? Yeah, same with that. And like, basically any time in like recreation, somebody's having like a good time. Like, you know, it feels like you're doing the job right, I guess.
Yeah, and I think by helping them have a good time too, you're also empowering them to know what it feels like to be part of a community and to engage in healthy activities. And the more people get that feeling themselves, the more they will likely do that. And so there's a spiral effect there. So, yeah, that's great. Thank you. Bradley, how about yourself? What does it feel like to be empowered, either as an individual or as part of a community?
I think when someone is empowering you, you feel respected and trusted, and I think it gives you that extra boost of energy or confidence to keep rolling with that feeling. So just continuing to get involved, kind of like you're seeking that feeling every time, but it's in a positive way. So, yeah, I just think it's, you feel respected and trusted, and you can roll with your ideas.
That's a great way to explain it, and I get that feeling that somebody who would feel empowered because they feel respected, trusted, have that energy and confidence, they would keep acting in ways that are healthy for themselves and for their community. Thank you. Christine, how about yourself? What does it feel like to be empowered, either as an individual or as part of a community?
I guess like the first thing that comes to my mind is there, like, I feel like I have autonomy and that, like, it's just like sort of freedom and a bit of the, like, and also that, like, I can be in charge of a task and I can complete that task and, like, it's on, like, the responsibility is on me, but at the same time, like, I can feel good about it because I know it was something that I was participating in and did myself. And then the other thing, which is kind of opposite, but still there, is, like, connection. I feel like when I'm empowered, I have better connections with people, and I have better connections with the community. And then, yeah, in a community way, like, if the community is empowered, I feel like they're more whole and more together and more, more connected in general.
That's great. And the one word that came to my mind while you were explaining is freedom, right? So, you know, that sort of that responsibility, that freedom leads to sort of positive things happening, right? Because you can be in charge, you can get things done, and whether it's by yourself or with others who feel the same way. So, you know, I think that empowerment is really important for an individual, for the community, and also for certain groups. Like, that's something I think that would be a goal of youth programs, right, is to help youth feel more empowered in their own situations and in their own lives. So thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. Stephanie, how about yourself? What does it feel like to be empowered, either as an individual or as part of a community?
Empowerment to me, I feel like I have a better self-esteem. I feel confident in myself. I feel self-reliant. And when I have these positive things about myself, it helps me deal with positive stress. Sometimes before an event, something kind of goes awry. And the way I carry myself, because of how I feel about myself, I can deal with possible changes at the last minute. And it is extremely stressful, especially when I have to go and deal with it directly, but I do it with a smile, a sense of humor, and the way residents see me dealing with this stress, they do not see the stress. I feel it, but I portray, oh, it's okay, it's no problem, I can deal with it, but it helps bring people together, especially when, like I said, something goes awry, but when people see that, oh, okay, that's gone wrong, but automatically people will go and help me. Like, okay, let's go help Steph. Let's go help her clean up. Let's go do this. And I also feel welcomed in groups of all ages, like especially with the kids, adults volunteering, and with the senior society. So it makes me feel really good to portray that positive energy, and it really helps bring the community together.
That's awesome. I like how you explained it at the beginning, that being empowered helps you better deal with challenges that happen. So I think feeling empowered, like Carly mentioned, makes you feel more confident, right? And also, as Christine mentioned, gives you that sense of autonomy or responsibility. So feeling empowered, when things don't go wrong, you don't sort of just back off, right? You know that you can cope with it. You know people will come and help. And so you're tackling things from a position of strength. So, you know, I think those three things, going back to the slide with the triangle that has slide 20, that has engage, empower, and include, those three things together are really key for getting benefits in our community, benefits for people, whether they're just personal health benefits or whether they're social benefits or whether they address big issues in our community. And we're really fortunate in recreation that to look on recreation already as something positive. So it is, we have a bit of an easier go that I think sometimes than maybe other sectors like justice or health. So, keep those three words in mind, and thank you so much for sharing that. So today we sort of talked about the what, when, and how of community building. The one last thing I wanted to point out is that we need to keep in mind the why. And the why brings us back to the root, our roots, and it also reminds us of why we are even doing recreation. So slide 24, this is a slide you're going to see in a number of learning events. It's about building community for the benefits. And really, we're in recreation to provide programs and services and things, but we provide those programs and services to make our communities a better place to live. So we want to build social capital. We want to have healthy people and healthy communities. We want strong relationships, and we want connection, people to feel connected with their outdoor spaces. And when we do all these things in recreation, we also see things like economic benefits as well, and growth and learning in a number of different ways. I think we have to really keep that in mind, that, you know, the reason why we might choose a community building approach in the work we do is because it's all about those deeper benefits. It's not so much about what we do, but it's about why we do it. Any last thoughts or questions or comments about community building? I'll just go around starting with Carly, see if you have anything else that seems to have come to mind or that you were wondering about or wanted to share. Carly, anything to add?
No, I think I just really enjoyed seeing a perspective that's not from, like, a city hub. So, yeah, I just enjoyed it. It was nice to, like, hear everyone else's perspectives on community.
That's great. Thanks for that feedback. And that's a nice way of thanking everybody else for joining the call, too, and for contributing. And I think what you just pointed out is what I really believe, that we learn together and we learn from each other. So thanks. Christine, any last thoughts or anything that comes to mind after this call?
No, everything pretty good today. Enjoyed the call.
Awesome, thank you. Stephanie, okay, any last thoughts or anything to add?
I can't think of anything on from the top of my head. I really enjoy being a recreational leader. I enjoy everything that I do. And, like, I just, even the kids. The kids, whenever they engage themselves with any kind of programming, they're always so happy to see me, and I always have food.
Food is a good thing, as Christine mentioned right at the beginning of the call, so thank you.
Nathan, any last thoughts or anything to add about building community or anything to wrap up our last call for 2021?
No, I can't think of anything, but I'd say these calls are really good, like the whole course so far. I think they've been a great help.
That's great. Well, thank you. So for those of you who are continuing on with us after Christmas, we get into more specifics about things. So PE 101 is specifically about a strategy for designing and delivering programs or events. And you might already have one. And what I've told some people is it's helpful to have that because if you work with volunteers or staff, you can share that with them as well. And then we'll get into things like basic finances, risk management, and a few more things that are very specific to your roles as a recreation leader. So that's all coming up after Christmas. This one was a really broad, big one. So to complete this learning event, you will have done the required learning activity from last week, which was about describing your community's personality and how recreation can help it become where you would like it to go. And then this week, the final required learning activity is sort of reflecting on your role as a recreation leader and the place of community building and recreation. So it's described on slide 28 and it's due on Sunday. There's also, as we have for all of our learning events, a short feedback form that's in activity number 7. So I would really appreciate it if you take a couple of minutes to fill that out. It's really helpful to have people's feedback. And basically that wraps up our calls for 2021. So I'd like to thank you all so much and wish you a wonderful holiday season. And I'll reconnect with you in 2022. Wow, that sounds like a long way away, but it's not actually. So, merci Cho, thank you, merci, and I'll stop the conference call recording, but I'll stay on the call if you have any questions. So thank you again and happy holidays.
Thanks, Beth.